For SearchSAP.com, I'm Rob Westerveld, and you're listening to Search SAP News Roundup for April 13th, 2006. This podcast will discuss the challenges and potential pitfalls of an SAP implementation with James Smith. Smith is an IT director at New Jersey-based dishware and stemware maker Rosenthal USA. In other news, we'll also talk about how SAP fits into the business process management market. And finally, SAP is boosting its presence in the mid-market. And now, let's turn to the news. SAP's business process management workflow tools are too complicated. They have too few rules management features and lack human-to-human task support. That criticism was dished out by Jim Seiner, who serves as Vice President and Distinguished Analyst at Gartner Research. Seiner said SAP, Oracle, IBM, and other large software vendors are racing to fill gaps in their business process management portfolios. SAP has a partnership with Germany-based IDS Share to address process modeling. Seiner said IDS Share's ARIS technology is embedded in the NetWeaver platform. Seiner's comments were made at Gartner's Business Process Management Summit held last month in Nashville, Tennessee. Seiner said more businesses are examining their business processes as part of a service-oriented architecture projects. Seiner ranks SAP, IBM, Fujitsu, Microsoft, and Oracle among the power vendors addressing business process management over the last 2 years. Seiner said a group of pure-play vendors such as Pegasystems, Global 360, and Lombardi Software are launching business process management suites that integrate with company systems and go far beyond process modeling. SAP is pushing deeper into the mid-market. SAP executives recently launched a new pricing and selling model to strengthen its channel partner network, and they're putting a stronger focus on micro-vertical industries. That mid-market push was highlighted at SAP's Business Forum held April 4th in New York City. SAP executives there said a new hybrid sales model that is based on sales volume and pricing could boost growth. The new model calls for territory sales representatives to oversee a mixture of direct and indirect sales. SAP said the model also reconfigures compensation plans and fosters new rules of engagement for partners. We turn now to an interview conducted by SearchSAP.com at the SAP Business Forum with James Smith. Smith is an IT director at Rosenthal USA. Rosenthal produces and distributes dishware and stemware sold at many high-end retail stores. Rosenthal USA is based in New Jersey and has about 50 employees. The company recently implemented SAP Business One. Now, Business One is SAP's low-end suite for small businesses. Smith discusses the challenges and pitfalls of an SAP implementation. I asked Smith how a company should conduct a proper vendor selection process.
If you're going to be doing a selection properly, you really got to go in and set some dynamics up ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Things that you feel are going to be your measurables. What are the different products going to be competing on? Okay. And the most important part is getting from your user base what they think they're going to need.
Okay.
It's a tedious and no love lost process. And everyone's, you know, got conflicting demands, but you have to go through it because if you don't, you don't have buy-in from your people. And if you don't have buy-in,
forget about it.
It's just not going to be pretty at all. So,
but are you navigating this
sea of companies and have to?
No, you generally have to pick no more than five. I mean, initially you're going to have somebody in my role would go out, and I did not do this for our company because I came on board afterwards. Mm-hmm. But you'd go out and you pick about 7 to 10 vendors, and you're going to vet that down to no more than five, probably 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. And those are the people who are going to come in and do a presentation for you. They're the ones who you're going to have all of your key users kick the tires.
Okay.
Now, the initial meeting is going to be upper management and IT, just talking about the company, making sure that they're going to make the grade. And once you've gotten through that process, that's when you bring your users in. The users then are going to be the ones who help you make that decision. They're going to tell you what doesn't work for them, what does work for them, what looks great, what looks terrible, and what's in between. And then, of course, there's the long discussions that happen out of the side of the vendor's purview. How do we get all this to fit together?
Right.
Your favorite thing is your most hated thing. Let's work this out.
Now, your situation was kind of unique, though. The decision was mainly driven
by the fact that our parent company has an SAP commitment.
Okay.
So we did look at a couple other packages, but we looked at the Great Plains package, and then there was a little bit of talk with Oracle. But when it came right down to it, there was a tremendous amount of pressure from corporate to go with SAP.
You described the best case scenario. The end users mm-hmm. kick the tires. And
you have to do that. And even in our situation, we did that. If there had been enough pushback, at that point you can go back to your parent company and say, listen, this product doesn't work for us. They're not on Business One.
Mm-hmm.
They're on full-blown SAP. So if we ran into challenges we couldn't get around, we would have to bring that to their attention.
Okay.
Now, an example would be is that SAP Business One, the version that we're on currently and migrating off of, 6.5, mm-hmm. does not have a warehouse module. It does not really have a built-in logistics module. And for a distribution company, that's an issue. The interesting part, though, was our legacy system, although it was a distribution system, didn't even track where product was in our warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a warehouse, and we had 4,000 items, and they could be anywhere in the warehouse. And there's no relationship in the system to that. So that's why we were concerned with that functionality.
When you went to SAP, did you go to SAP directly, or did you go through one of the...
We went through Third Wave, which is Corelent.
And how did you find them?
Well, you contact there was an interest in SAP, and then you say, okay, we're this size company, we're looking for this functionality, and they directed us to Corey.
Okay.
She is the value-added reseller in our area.
What is it like dealing with Avant? What's that relationship like?
Do you want the good side or the bad side? The good side is
what... The people listening really want both.
The third wave experiences is good for us. We've been lucky. They have good people. They've taken the time to come in and study our business and mm-hmm. understand what we do. We've had one project manager since we started the implementation. So he knows as much about our business pretty much as anyone in our company.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he doesn't necessarily have the same depth of knowledge, but he's a strong understanding of what happens from the time the customer places the order to we demand it from Germany, the product from Germany. That's a very important thing. The continuity can't be overstated. They've looked at it as a partnership, and it has been a partnership, and that makes a big difference, too.
Okay.
So you have to watch out for that, but...
I guess you're going to address some of the challenges, too.
The challenges are things that I've had in past experiences where I've run into VARs who don't follow good business practices. And an example of that is they go to the users and they develop requirements, but they don't necessarily go to a central organization, the IT group, for the sake of argument, to discuss what's going to be done, how it's going to be done, what the deliverables are. There are VARs who go out and they will collect all these bizarre requirements, and then they'll say, yes, we'll implement it to you. And if the IT group or the CFO or whoever is the responsible party doesn't demand a budget ahead of time and specify what the deliverables are, a VAR can go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes the VAR will be honorable and will say, do you understand that you're giving me a sort of a black hole to fill?
Right.
And you're just going to start throwing money into the hole, and if the IT CFO or whatever doesn't say, you know, we're not going to do that,
mm-hmm.
they're going to do it.
Is it easy to identify these guys in advance, or Does it happen right under?
The first thing you got to do is you got to check references. Most okay. important thing you do with any bar, check the references.
Get. Do you think there's some small businesses out there that won't do that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I know there are ones out there that don't do that.
Okay.
I know for a fact.
It sounds like a common sense thing.
As often as not, on many occasions, Corey has given me references, given me as a reference. No one ever calls me.
Okay.
Now, you know, I'm assuming that people ask for 3 to 4 references, which is what I do.
Right.
If it's a particularly important project, they might go for 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. And I expect to spend 10 to 15 minutes on the phone with each person I'm calling. I've got a list of questions that I want to talk to them about. You know, how their experience has gone with this vendor, how long they've been with them. And if I don't have that conversation, I'm not comfortable. You know, there were no questions today. No one asked that dreaded question, what's something you don't like about Business One? Well, I'm going to give an honest answer on that. And Corey knows I'm going to give an honest answer on that.
And a question? And an answer?
Well, if you can ask that question, one of the problems we had with Business One on the old version was that it didn't do an aging well.
And it didn't do an aging well?
Aging for accounts receivable.
Okay.
And, you know, it sounds like such a simple thing. And the out-of-the-box one was fine, but we had bank auditors that required a modification to it,
mm-hmm.
and you couldn't do it gracefully. And Corey's company came up with a modified one that worked for us fine, but the out-of-the-box functionality was not there.
Now, have you been through an upgrade?
We're in the process of doing the upgrade now.
Are you anticipating complications?
No, because
the customization?
As I've described to my users, the going from the current version to the 2005 version is like going from Windows 2000 to Windows XP for Office.
Okay.
You're adding, the screens are changing a little bit. There's some new functionality. Certainly all the bugs are going to be removed. There might be some new bugs,
mm-hmm.
Which is why you don't go on the first live date. You wait until the first service pack is out there. But we're expecting to go probably June 1st to the new system. And we're actually gearing up at this moment to have the testing begin. So we're going to spend about 6 weeks testing.
Now, you guys chose Business One, and in choosing Business One, you're sort of detached from the rest of SAP's product set. Was that a factor in when you made the decision?
Not a concern. As I said earlier, I'm not sure you heard me, we were determined to be an individual company.
Okay.
So the other international divisions are running off of the mainframes in Germany. Italy is working that way. And because of the time changes and such, it just didn't make sense for someone so far away to be dependent on the German schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Because what would be a maintenance time for them is our key business time.
Okay.
So we don't want system resources to be dedicated to maintenance when we're trying to get a customer service call.
How do you negotiate with Avar? I'm talking about price. Is it easy to do?
It depends on. Well, the first question is, how successful is the Avar?
Okay.
The more, you know, it's like we're going to an auto body shop. If they've got lots of work, you're going to get a higher price.
Okay.
If they don't have a lot of work, you're not going to do as well. But part of it is planning ahead. If you see that you've got a fixed number of projects that are coming up that are going to dictate an expenditure, you'll probably do better buying hours in blocks. So, for example, we were in back in December, we knew we were going to be having several big projects come through. We prepaid all of them.
Okay.
Corey's got the money in her pocket, so she feels that she can give us a break in our cost. But by the same token, we can take this lump sum and we can amortize it with a lease.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an advantage.
Okay.
The VAR should be giving you a daily statement stating what they've done, what the status on that project is, and how many hours they spent on it.
Is there a problem with scope creep with small business implementations?
Sure. Because generally speaking, small businesses don't do as good a job of demanding what the scope of the project is.
Okay.
When we did our conversion, people told me they could never, ever, ever live with something. 6 weeks later, they loved it. They didn't just, you know, accept it. They liked it. There are other times when they said they couldn't possibly live with this thing. And they're living with it. They don't like it. But we could, you know, we're not going to change it. It would be too expensive to change.
And with that, we'll end this edition of SearchSAP.com News Roundup. You can view our podcast archive at searchsap.com/audio. For everyone at SearchSAP.com, I'm Rob Westervelt. Have a great day.